In your bulletin, it says gospel reading, but this is in fact not a gospel reading, narrowly. It's from the Acts of the Apostles, which is the second part of the work written by the person who wrote the Gospel of Luke. So the gospel writer Luke then wrote a book known as the Acts of the Apostles. And this passage today comes in the story where Jesus has been with the disciples for 40 days, appearing to them and being with them. And now he is about to make a change. And so in the very first chapter of Acts, we hear the story of the ascension of Jesus. When they had come together one more time, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Here ends the reading of the scripture. These words speak the power of life, and they may be trusted. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed, but churches, especially Protestant churches, don't pay a whole lot of attention to the ascension. Does anybody agree with that? Is anyone like me, don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about the ascension piece? Some of you, maybe? Yeah. Well, I decided that maybe we should think about it a little bit today. And I was thinking about why is it that we don't spend more time thinking about the ascension, and I have a theory. And the theory is that Ascension Day is on a Thursday. Very practical, right? And I just had a feeling that if we had said, "Hey, this week we're not even going to get together on Sunday morning. We're going to get together on Thursday, same time, same place, but on Thursday," a lot of you wouldn't be there. It'd be lucky if I were there. So it is one of those feast days, like the Epiphany, that we kind of know about. We've heard of it, but we don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. But I would like to suggest today that we need the story of the ascension, that without it, the rest of the story doesn't make much sense. For example, how many of you have ever heard the story of Jack and the Beanstalk? Anyone out there? Jack and the Beanstalk? So let me tell you the story. In this story, there is a boy, Jack, and he lives with his mother, just the two of them, and they're very poor. All they have to their name is just their small home where they live and their cow. And they don't have anything left to eat. They don't have any way to get any money. And so the mother says to Jack, "Jack, it's time. We're going to have to sell the cow. So will you please take the cow, take it to the market, and get as much money as you can for it? Because I don't know what we're going to do otherwise." Jack says, "Yeah, sure, I'll do it." So he takes the cow, and he walks to market. Well, along the way, he comes across someone, some strange someone, who says, "Oh, that's a nice cow you've got there. What are you doing with it?" Jack says, "Well, I'm going to bring it to the market and sell it." And this person says, "Well, I'll tell you what, I can give you something for it." And Jack says, "Really? What would that be?" "Well, I've got these magic beans." And Jack says, "Magic beans? Oh, yeah, these are really special magic beans, and I'll give you a whole handful of them for your cow." Jack thinks about it, finally says, "That sounds pretty good." Gives the cow, takes the beans, goes home. You remember what the mom says. "What? What did you do? And one account of the story, she takes the beans and she throws them outside. And they plant in the ground and they grow up into this huge beanstalk. And the next morning, Jack comes out and he just has bags full of golden coins. Isn't that a great story? Sorry, did I forget some part of it? Which part of it did I forget? Oh, what's that? Oh, he had to climb up the beanstalk. He went somewhere. A bunch of stuff happened. It was kind of dangerous. He came back down. That's how he... Oh, okay. You see that the story wasn't complete? It didn't entirely make sense without that piece of it? It's like that with the ascension. Let me draw it in the air for you, can I? The Christian story begins with the incarnation, the story of Christmas. You could draw it like this, where God becomes known, is born into the world in and through Mary's body in the person of Jesus. So the incarnation happens. Jesus lives on earth for several decades. He teaches, he learns, he gathers disciples. He finally threatens those people who are in power. And at the very end of his life, what happens? He's crucified and he dies. And he is buried. Some say he wasn't just buried in a tomb, but during that time he went all the way down to what was called Hades. And in Hades, he drew up all of the people who had ever been there, and he drew them up into himself and into God. But the point is, he went down. And then what happened on what we call Easter morning? What happened? He rose. You see the picture now? Can you see it? Down, here. Now we're here. So now he's here, and he's appearing on earth to his friends and disciples again. But then what happens? With the ascension, he does this again. And he has to do that because that is how the Spirit then gets sent upon all of the earth, so that Jesus isn't present just here in this place to these disciples, but now Jesus is present in all times and in all places to all people. God's presence through Jesus now fills the earth as the Holy Spirit. You see how you can't tell the story without the ascension. The ascension is what makes the sending of the Spirit possible. In the story that we have in Acts, the book of Acts, we hear that the disciples who have been enjoying Jesus' presence with them have been astounded again and again by his appearance, now meet with him one last time, and they have a question for him. They said, "We know that you have to go away, so now is this the time? Is this the time when you are going to restore everything that God intends for the world?" And Jesus says, "You know what? It's not up to you to know the time." And shortly thereafter, he is raised up. It is as if the gravity of the earth can't even hold him. And they all look up as he's going, and these two men in white come, and they say, "Why are you looking up?" What a silly question. If you saw somebody being raised up into a cloud, where would you be looking? Up. Try it. You could stand on any sidewalk anywhere and just look up for a while and see how many people will stand next to you and go like this. And they were asking, "Why are you looking up?" These are perhaps the same two men dressed in white who were at the tomb, who asked the women when they arrived on that Easter morning, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" That's another silly question. We weren't looking for the living among the dead. We came looking for a person we expected to be dead. That's right, Jesus. It's as if Jesus is never really where we're expecting to find him. And now in the story of the ascension, gravity itself doesn't seem to be able to keep grasping him. Somehow he has to go away and out of our sight in order for him to then send the Spirit and be with us at all times and in all places. In this story that we find in Acts, there is what I'd like to call the biggest little word in the whole entire Bible. When I was a kid, we used to say it like this. But, it's the word but. It's the biggest little word in the entire Bible. Because when Jesus speaks to the disciples, when they ask, is this the time? And he says, you don't get to know the time. He then uses the word. But I am sending the Holy Spirit to you so that you may be witnesses of all that I have done right here in Jerusalem, right here in Sebastopol, but even over in Judea, in Santa Rosa, and up in Samaria, in Healdsburg, and even wider than that, any place in the entire earth that you can think of, that is where I am sending you by the power of the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses, to be my hands and feet, to be my presence in the world. And when you go there, I will already be there waiting for you. Do you see how big that word was? You don't get to know the time, but I am sending the Spirit, and the Spirit will be going with you. You could draw the picture of the ascension like this. Pastor Rachel showed you a few pictures up here. The simplest way to draw the picture is this, and you could try this if you've got a little doodle paper right now, okay? I'm going to draw it in the air. You'll have to imagine it, okay? Kind of a fluffy cloud. Do you see it? You see the fluffy cloud? Okay, a few people. Turn on your imagination. Fluffy cloud. 1 foot sticking out. Another foot sticking out. That's the simplest way to draw it. Will you try it? If any of you doodle that and you want to put it in the offering plate in a few minutes, I'd love to see your drawings. But that's not the only part of the drawing. Fluffy cloud, 1 foot, 2 foot, there's usually something else. And it's right down here. Two footprints. Two footprints. There's a chapel of the Ascension in Bethany. You walk into it, it's a little round room like this. It's all dark, and right there in the floor are two indented footprints on the floor. The chapel of the Ascension. It's as if Jesus' footprints are all over the place. And if we're wondering what it means to be Jesus' witnesses in the world, his footprints are all over the gospel. They're all over the story. They cause you to go back and you say, now what did he say that one time? I have come to bring deliverance to the captives, good news to the poor, food for the hungry. I have come to forgive all of the debts and to proclaim that this is the year. This is the year of God's coming, God's jubilee, God's good news year. His footprints are all over the place. They're like guides to us on how to be his life in the world, even now. Without the ascension, none of this is possible. Or maybe it's possible, but it doesn't make sense. But with the ascension, we come to expect the coming of the Holy Spirit. But that's another story altogether. That's the story of Pentecost. And we've got to wait 2 weeks for that. But you only have to wait 4 days for the day of ascension. The day when we are sent by the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to God's love through Jesus in every place you can think of.